Webster is the lawyer of record for approximately 25 detainees who were abducted from San Francisco and from San Jose. And let me just give you generally an update of what happened. Last Monday, a number of individuals reported, according to law, to the San Francisco office and to the San Jose office of the INS. At that time, they were photographed and fingerprinted, and then, in a number of cases, they were asked to wait and then escorted down to the basement of these individual facilities. You know, a lot of these actions do happen in basements, whether it's in South America or, yes, even here in the United States. After that, for those that were detained on Monday, they were shackled and transported to Oakland for the night, and then brought back to the facilities from which they were picked up. After that, they were taken back to Oakland for Tuesday night and kept there overnight. On Wednesday, they were taken to Oakland Airport and placed on a U.S. Marshal flight, which we will call Con Air. But in this Con Air, it wasn't Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and the CEO of Enron that were on board. It was our brothers and sisters, our sons and daughters, our mothers and fathers. Well, only our brothers and fathers, I should say. Because after all, women are being excluded from this horrific nightmare. But they were placed on this flight, and they were flown to Arizona. And in Arizona, they spent the evening in Arizona. The next night, according to some reports, because they're on a plane, they're disoriented, they don't really know where they are. But we think that they were taken on a flight to Kentucky, and then to Illinois, and then to Colorado, then back to Arizona, and then to Bakersfield, and then finally to San Diego. Essentially, they were on the plane for about 24 hours, and this lasted until about Thursday for those that were detained.
They were picking up more people at these places that I don't
know. They're dropping off and picking up different people at these places. Not all of them were Iranian or Arab. There were some Mexicans on board as well. But primarily what we're talking about here are those people who were detained as a matter of the special registration process. So they were then they landed in San Diego. In San Diego, they were taken to a temporary facility where I am told by the detainees that we interviewed, they were herded into an 8-by-10-foot room, 17 people to the room, a single toilet. Each of them were issued 2 pieces of toilet paper, and if you ran out of toilet paper, you had to borrow from your neighbor. And they were kept in that room for about 24 hours. They didn't have any beds. They basically, if they were able to sleep at all, they slept on the concrete floor. During this time as well, up until Saturday, but at least we're at Thursday now, they're still wearing their street clothes, no showers, no toothbrushing. They were given a few sandwiches along the way, mainly cold cuts of ham. So for those who were observant Muslims, you know, that's sort of out of the loop as to what they could eat. So they're kept in this temporary processing facility in San Diego for about 24 hours, and then on Friday or thereabouts, they're moved to another facility where similar conditions prevail. They're kept in a room, they're processed, medically examined, and issued prison guard, but once again, kept there for 24 hours. They weren't allowed to sleep, really. Basically, every hour on the hour, guards would come and wake them up. So they're also, by this point, very sleep-deprived. And that's something they mentioned over and over again, that they were sleep-deprived, and that they were not allowed to sleep. In this 24-hour period at the spinal processing center as well, there were no beds. They were sleeping either back-to-back or on a concrete floor if they could once again sleep at all. They are now in cell blocks in a facility in Otay Mesa, California, which is outside of San Diego. And there, it's pretty cold. The temperature yesterday was about 50 degrees inside the facilities. The lawyer and I weren't able to wear jackets, so we were cold, but they were in t-shirts some of them didn't have socks issued to them until we came and demanded that they be given some socks to wear and some proper clothing. They are allowed full sleeve shirts, but they're not issued the full sleeve shirts until 3 days of incarceration have passed. And even after that, you have to buy the fleece shirts. They're not just given to you. You have to buy them out of the money that you may have had when you were picked up. I should also add that the facility isn't actually run by the INS. It's run by a private corporation called the Corrections Corporation of America. So it's a private-run facility that is subcontracted to the INS. So, in the name of making profit, you're getting the bare minimums of whatever you're allowed. Until Saturday, CCA, as it's known, and the INS refused family visits. They were turning away families at the door, and they were turning away the attorney. On Sunday, we came with a news crew from NBC and Fox and an LA Times reporter and demanded to be let in. At first, they gave us what I call the supervisor dance. My supervisor's not here. You have to talk to my supervisor. No visitors can come in because they're not on the list of authorized visitors for the families. Talk to my supervisor. Well, that all went on in front of the camera until one of them got the bright idea, well, maybe that's not coming off too well. So they retreated inside, and then they called the INS duty officer that was in charge, who had to come from his home and said, well, you've placed me in a very precarious situation here. I was at home. Well, okay, these guys aren't at home. So finally, we were allowed to go in to see these detainees, and they described to us the condition that they were in and what they had gone through, the harrowing experience that they had gone through during the past week. Now, as I said, there were some that were picked up on Monday, and then there were some that were picked up on Wednesday and Thursday, either because, presumptively, they just found out. Some of them didn't know that they had to register and just found out about it, so they went in out of their own volition to do the right thing. Others who are not citizens of these five countries anymore, they are Canadian citizens, they are Danish citizens, went on the advice of their corporate counsel. They worked for Silicon Valley companies who the corporate counsel told them, we're not sure what this law means. Whether it means that you as an Iranian-born or Iraqi-born person have to go, even though you're now a citizen of another country. But just to be on the safe side, why don't you go down and as a matter of goodwill, just register anyhow. Well, they did, and they didn't come back out. Those folks were shipped to San Diego as well. What we also have to realize about the situation is the lack of due process that's involved here. Hardly any of these people have been given what's known as a notice to appear. So they haven't been served, if you will, with any beginning of a process. Unlike LA, where a lot of the detainees there have been bonded out or released on their own recognizance, none of the people that we represent from Northern California have had a bond set for them or have even had a hearing date set for them. In fact, there are three judges that do immigration hearings in San Diego. Two of them are on vacation. We've been told or have had some indication from San Diego authorities that there may not be a hearing at least until January the 9th. So there's an issue as to when these people will be able to go in front of a judge to say, hey, I was here quite legally, what am I doing here? That may not be able to happen even up until the 9th of January.